gospel music, family harmony, and the continuum of its future generations are here today with Rambo McGuire for the hour.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
I love this family. I love the original Rambos when you go back and listen to that music. I love the music of the Downings. I love the old. I love the new. And we're bringing it all together today with Rambo McGuire. And this is it's a treat to have Donnie on the phone, Reba's on the phone, and also Destiny. And I saw you guys, I've seen you guys in person. I know, like, at the Quartet Convention. I saw you guys at the Gaither taping you did recently at the Billy Graham Library. I'm hearing so much buzz about what you're doing, but let's not be mistaken. This is not anything entirely new. You guys have been singing for so long, especially Donnie, you and Reba. So if I can just start here and say welcome and then say, Donnie, let's go back into your history for a moment, if we could, and talk about in the beginning, there was a little baby named Donnie, and where was he born?
Well, and I was on stage with the Downings when I was three.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So don't make me sound older than I am.
No, right. No, you're a very historical figure in gospel music, but don't let that make you sound old, right?
Yeah, please.
Your songwriting precedes you. I mean, because you look and start reading the credits for the songwriting, and you're everywhere, man. And so did your love for music start at that young age, and was it always gospel?
Well, it has always been gospel. I was born to a family of seven kids. I was the baby, and the two oldest children were sisters, and then five boys in a row. So the five boys made up our own group. And my dad was very musical, played guitar, and he had played guitar, and the boys would sing. And my dad was also a writer. So the love for music started early. My mother was convinced I was going to be a piano player and started me with lessons when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
And looking back on all of that now, I'm very grateful for her insight to be able to see what was ahead of me and really help give me an education in that arena. So it started very young for me. I moved to Nashville when I was 16, and shortly after that, it became a part of the Downings. So that's kind of where it all started.
Now, of course, when we say the name Rambo in gospel music, that brings on its own historical chapter. Okay. And so when you have Reba, not only Reba, do you fall in line of this heritage of music, but you came into your own through the years, even doing contemporary work and bringing it back full circle. Now, growing up in that home with gospel music surrounding you, I imagine was it inevitable?
Oh, it was inevitable because, you know, when you grow up and the first sound you remember is your mom playing guitar, mandolin, banjo. If it had strings, mother could play it, and dad played guitar. In our house, when we lived up in Kentucky, way back in the hills, I mean, think Deliverance, okay?
Yeah, right.
When we lived up in there on so many Friday nights, those old-timers would come out of those hills and hollers, usually to my grandmother's house, actually, and, you know, almost everybody could play something, even if it was Jusarp. And I was just raised with music. My mother thought everything could be a song. She wrote songs about everything. Not all of them made it to a stage, but she would be cooking pinto beans and cornbread and be making up a song about it. So my whole life has been a life set to music.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder I sang my first song on the radio when I was 18 months old. I sang When the Saints Go Marching In. But I thought everybody's life was like that. And then when I was very young, they got a bus. So I just thought everybody had a bus. That was my normal.
Yeah. Did you ever find a time in your life, Donna, you too can chime in here, where you thought, as much as you love music, but as much as it is a part of your life, you kind of wanted to run away and just get out for a moment and do something totally different? Was there ever a moment that in your life that happened?
I'll let Reba kind of chime in on that. I really feel like my life kind of took a course early on, and I really have not ventured far from the concept of music being a major part of that. I think Reba had a little differing idea as a young person, because as much fun and as much satisfaction and just fullness and completeness of life that comes from music, sometimes those who are our children see the good and the not so good of that. And Reba probably more than anyone in our immediate family, for at least for a season, thought about going another direction. So maybe take that.
Well, I mean, there's been a couple of times actually, but when I was very young, my parents, you know, were working, and Dad worked at the grocery store and Mom worked in a hosiery mill, but they sang almost every night. But then when they took off and started traveling, you know, they worked little tiny churches and they slept in what they called evangelistic quarters, which most of the time equated to nasty church basements with mice. And you know, and I, as a child, I understood. Yeah. Somehow there was an understanding of this is what my parents needed to do. But I just thought, I can't pay this price. Mm-hmm. And I always loved medicine. I always was so intrigued with the medical profession, and had a dear friend that worked in that profession and allowed me early on at 10 years old to see brain surgery. And I was convinced I wanted to be a neurosurgeon. Mm. And actually, the singing with the Ramblers kind of crept up on me. They had hired a young girl to replace another girl that had left, and she was an alto, and Mom was an alto, and two altos and a lead don't make a trio. And one day when I was just turned 13, they were practicing with this girl. In frustration, I said to her name was Pat, and I said, Pat, this is the way the part goes. And my parents hadn't heard me sing since I was little. And honestly, I just didn't think about if I was a singer or not, because my mind was so set on being a neurosurgeon. And I began to sing the part and show Pat how it went. And of course, my mother starts crying on cue. And she said, well, will you just sing with us for a little while till we can find somebody else? And they never found anybody else. But that first year was really rough for me. But after that, I really began to love what music was all about, and it was kind of a holy sneaky thing. I say sometimes Holy Spirit is holy sneaky. It was one of those things that kind of crept up on me, but then once I was in it, I realized there was purpose in it.
Wow. Hey, Destiny, are you glad she chose music over brain surgery?
Oh, absolutely.
And
music is, I don't know how to do anything else.
Well, and that's where it really goes. I mean, you see this a good bit in gospel music in particular, where you have a generational thing, but to see it go beyond two and down to three, four generations down the line, and they're still holding on to it, it kind of makes you wonder if the Holy Spirit, and since we're talking about him here, obviously, if the Holy Spirit has something to do with all of this. I mean, there's something generational that becomes, it's a talent, but it's also a calling. You agree with that, Reba?
I sure do. And you know, Destiny's a little modest about some of the things that she does. But, you know, my mother used to call Destiny Dottie Rambo with legs. Because Destiny has that creative space that she can go to, and she does get it honest. But I think with Destiny, it's natural as breathing. And if I say to Destiny, Destiny, I need you to write a song about whatever, picking berries in the meadow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And, you know, and I don't know exactly, Des, I'll ask you a question, Des. I don't know exactly how you came about doing all that. Do you think you learned it, or you just picked it up, or how did that happen?
Well, I mean, like you said, you grew up being around it and music being all you ever knew. I was the same way. I don't remember ever not being on a bus. I don't remember ever not, you know, having music as a part of my life. And so when it came to a point that there were things in my life that I was feeling, whether it was emotions or different situations that we had walked through, my initial thought was, how can I put that into a song that will, you know, affect other people that may be going through this same kind of motion or circumstance or whatnot? So it was the natural reaction of, oh, I'm feeling this, let's write a song about it. It was never... there was never really a thought to why that wouldn't be the natural way about going, you know, going about it.
You know, Daniel, you said something about the generational thing. I think so many people have grown up in religious environments that somehow seem to focus more on the negatives than on the positives.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about generational curses.
Yeah.
But rarely do we hear people stand in a platform or in a pulpit and really stir us and motivate us to understand the concept of generational blessings. And, you know, even with the psalmist David, God promised David he was going to bless his seed for thousands of generations.
That's right.
And I just, you know, I'm a sixth generation of ministry slash music. Reba is sixth generation. Well, now our children are the seventh. We have grandchildren who are now coming into their own. And it's amazing how this thing just continues to flow from one generation to another to another.
Wow.
And I believe so firmly in the concept that, you know, God puts these things in us, and it's not just our natural seed. It can be imparted and received by spiritual seed. And so I just believe in looking at how great God's plan is for all of us, and how something that he started in Dottie and Buck. You know, it's a great thrill in our, this whole concept of Rambo McGuire and the Remembering the Rambo series, that Dad is still with us, 80 years young, still loves getting on the bus, still loves getting up singing. But there's also the reality that his days are more numbered in a natural sense than Destiny or Israel's days are.
Yeah.
And yet he gets the blessing of seeing two generations out from him of what these kids are able to do and the power that they minister with, whether it's with a song, whether it's in something they share, whether it's in something they write. There's just an increased power that's being transformed and delivered to each generation that's coming up behind us.
Rambo McGuire is with us today. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and incredible music filling this hour as well, and I know you're encouraged by it. And I would suggest you look them up, find the tour schedule, find out where you can find more music, and you can do that at their website. It's Daniel Britt and Friends with Rambo McGuire.
I hear the sound of angels come across the distant hills. I hear them calling me away. Old friends now are gathering outside my mansion door. I can feel the earth start to fall. Gonna wear me some new clothes, like a shiny white robe. Walking around in new shoes, getting ready to move, ready to move. The marriage supper's ready. They've been me come and dine. They won't sit right down and feast at the table.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Today's guest, Rambo McGuire. And on the line, that's Donnie, Reba, and Destiny. And I do want to be fair here. While we're talking to you three, there are other members of the group and obviously of the family. We talked about Buck and Israel, and you've got... So tell us about your family. Tell us about who all is involved with the music.
Well, you know, I'm an only child, Daniel, so I wish I'd have had siblings. I could say, oh, yeah, my brother and sister are joining us too, but I was an only child.
Yeah.
But our son Israel, who plays drums, and he's also a great vocalist. He doesn't sing a lot yet with Rambo McGuire, but he's an amazing writer and vocalist, and my dad. And we have other musicians that travel with us, depending on the venue. We have a big version of the band and then a smaller version of the band, depending, you know, where we're at. Mm-hmm. But it's just so fun. And then, of course, my stepmother, May, is with us, and she's amazing. But it's so fun. It's such a support system. You know, the scripture talks about the old man and the young man dance together.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to see when our grandson gets to be there, Dyson. He's 8. And he's dancing around with not only his dad, but then Donnie. And he's also dancing with his great-grandpa, Buck, or Grandbuck, we all call him. And it's so fun to see everybody cheering and supportive. And not just when we do Rambo McGuire, when Israel's Own Band does things, when Destiny does other things. Destiny does a lot of Broadway musical and theater-type things. That to see is, first of all, we are family. Before we're a singing group, we're family. And to see the support that we all have for each other, whether my dad is doing an art show with his paintings, whatever, to see that that love of the family. And I think that people feel that in the music. They feel that on the stage. You know, this is no competition. This is a thing that everybody celebrates everyone else and encourages everyone. And that's what every family really is looking for. That's what every child, what every parent really wants, is a family that will celebrate diversity. You know, there's unity and diversity, which is so awesome. And to see all of us be able to come together and help, we'll never be the Rambos. We'll never be Buck, Dottie, and Reba, because that sound will not be again until we step into the next dimension. But it's awesome to see how we can remember Mom's amazing music. Nobody could pen a song like Dottie Rambo. To celebrate her music, but also to celebrate now the music that we continue on with our own writings. And I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah, you can't put it in a box. I mean, even the quote that music is the great unifier, Bill Gaither will tell you, well, if you ever tried to go on a family vacation with kids in the car and choose a radio station, you have some extreme arguing over that. And so it can be a huge divider, too. So you can't just put it in a box. And I love what you said there about how you have so much variety and diversity, but yet you unify with that. And even in your own life, Reba, I know you did time touring, maybe as a pop contemporary. Andre Crouch, you did some touring with him. So talk about that time and how that lined up with where you are today.
Well, you know, I never intended to leave the Rambos. It was kind of one of those things, again, that the Lady album began to do really well. And but before that, my dad had 5 heart attacks, and I was about 21 when that happened. And Andre Crest and Disciples were dear friends, and Andre and Andre said, why don't you get on the bus for a couple of weeks? And a year and a half later, I was still traveling and singing with them. And one of the things that was so awesome about that time was Andre would look at me and say, Reba, if you had not been born a Rambo in a Kentucky environment, I think you would sing differently. There's more to your voice than you know. Mm. So it was so powerful to have someone like Andre as a vocal coach for a year and a half. And, you know, I learned with the Disciples, they weren't going to sing with you. You were going to sing with them.
So
it pressed me to stretch the boundaries of my voice. And I just loved it. You know, God is so smart. He starts at the end and works backwards. And he knew that was a piece. That was a part of the puzzle of my life and even where I would go as a vocalist and as a writer. And then when the album Lady in 1976 won, you know, Dove Awards and began to do so well, and people were inviting me to go, and my father's health was still not great. And so it was kind of a natural segue. And there was a price to pay to become a contemporary Christian artist. There wasn't even a label for it back in the day. I remember when I was very young and started doing albums like Reality and Resurrection, and radio stations would have Reba record burnings parties because they were just too contemporary. Mm. Now, if you were to listen to them, you would just crack up. But it was stepping outside of the box of that day.
Yeah.
But all of the pieces have helped bring me into who I am, have helped to shape not only my life, but Donnie's and our children's, because our children, I promise you, on their iPods is every genre of music, from Southern gospel, from bluegrass, all the way to opera, from Grand Ole Opry to opera, because they've learned to appreciate and respect great music in any genre. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, Destiny, that was going to be my question for you. I mean, in all honesty, while you love Southern gospel and you love the roots that your family has brought to you, and that you've come into in this generation now, I mean, let's be honest, there are different styles that may float your boat sometimes, and it may not always sound like a harmonica or a mandolin, right?
No, I was actually having a conversation with someone the other day, and one of the things that I think is so has been such a benefit to my life is the appreciation of so many different types of music. You know, I listen to my dad, and he can sit down and play classical piano, and it just, you know, makes my spirit soar. But then I can go listen to the Isaacs and hear the full bass and the mandolin, and it just, it moves something in me. Mm-hmm. Or I went to a concert the other night, and it was very kind of almost reggae-ish, I don't even know what you would call it, type of music, and I love it.
And she took me with her.
Yeah, I took her with me. But I appreciate the language of music. And that, you know, when you're having a down day and you want to sing about it, you know, you put on some blues and that really kind of dreary guitar kind of complements the emotion that you're feeling. And but yet you're having a happy day and you want to put on, you know, I'm Walking on Sunshine and go bounce around in your car.
Yeah.
So there's so many different ways that music can reach us and communicate with us. And I'm understanding as I get older that even some of the music that I don't necessarily feel drawn towards genre-wise, I still can respect it for what it's trying to communicate.
Yeah. And did I hear, is it true that you have, you've got talent in choreography, and so talk about the Broadway side of things.
Oh, goodness. From the time I was young, I watched musical after musical and was fascinated by the concept of being able to sing and dance and act all in the same place, and yet it was all, you know, live. It wasn't filmed. I've never really felt drawn towards film, but the concept of, you know, rehearsing and doing this two-hour show and telling this story or however long it is, it always fascinated me, and it was just kind of a hidden desire of my heart and to be able to be a part of that. And a couple of years ago, I got approached. It was a very last-minute thing my sister had actually gotten approached to play a role in a show, and she couldn't with her schedule, and they asked her, you know, is there someone that can do what you do when it comes to theater? And she was like, you should ask my little sister. And so I went in, I auditioned, and I sang one sentence of the song that they asked me to audition with, and they looked at me and said, you've got this. And so it threw my world kind of into a tailspin of being able to do something that I had loved to do for years as a kid. I grew up dancing. I started dancing from the time I could walk, and studied that for years. I suffered a couple knee injuries a few years ago and wasn't able to continue dancing the way that I used to, because up until we started doing a lot of the Rambo McGuire music, my almost full-time occupation was as a dancer. And so when my knees started giving me trouble, God really used that to put into perspective where my focus should be in music. But the great thing about theater is that I could combine what I knew about dance, and it wasn't as strenuous on my body to be able to do that as well as do music. And it just, I love so many elements of the arts, and theater combines a lot of them at once.
Well, yeah. And Daniel, as a dad, I can kind of toot Destiny's horn a little bit. She just a few months ago did the new Broadway musical for Disney on Tarzan and Jane, and she recorded all the Jane parts on the soundtrack that will be coming out for that musical.
Wow. Incredible. Destiny, Reba, Donnie, Rambo McGuire with us here today. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
I feel the winds blowing across the sea of life. Angry waves grow higher as they roll. The lightning pace of heavens, my ship is tossed about, almost devouring my soul. And you wonder why I'm smiling through the thunder. And you wonder why my soul feels no alarm. There's an unseen hand guiding my vessel. He's my harbor in time of a storm. The storm will soon be over, the clouds will roll away, and I shall see the lights upon the shore.
But until the last wind threatens, his angels pilot me, till I reach home to sail the sea.
one more. There's an unseen hand guiding my vessel. He's my harbor in time of storm. And you wonder why I'm smiling through the thunder. And you wonder why my soul feels no alarm. There's an unseen hand guiding my vessel.
McGuire and Donnie, this is a question. Don't want to put you on the spot. I know you guys started a church in 2001, and if I know anything about starting a ministry, is it's not always pretty. You got to start at the beginning and build this thing up, okay? And so this is the question, especially you're the man here, and how good are you at home with power tools? If we were to come into your home and say, show me something you had to do in a pinch because the plumber wasn't available or the carpenter couldn't get over and you had to fix this, and they looked at you and you said, you're the man, and grab the power tool and get it done. Are you a handyman kind of guy, or what kind of power tools do you own?
I will. You'll find just about any and every kind of power tool in my garage.
Uh-huh.
But anything that has a blade on it that cuts, you'll not find me using. I made the mistake. I went out and bought a chainsaw. And because we had a storm, and this was several years ago, and had a lot of limbs come down. So I thought, well, I'm just going to go pick up a chainsaw, and I'll cut this up, and I'll burn it.
Yeah.
Well, when I came home with the chainsaw, Reba's like, baby, don't do that. Please don't do that. Let somebody else come use the chainsaw. You don't know how to use it. Your hands are too important. Well, you know, being the man that I am, I said, I can handle this. And the first time I laid the chainsaw on the piece of wood, the blade jumped off, went across the top part of my knuckles on my left hand.
Mm.
I turned the chainsaw off, came inside, rinsed my fingers off, bandaged them up, said, I'll never touch a chainsaw again.
My.
So I'll use power screwdrivers. I'll use hammers.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to use something that cuts. It gets a little bit too close to things that I have to have my fingers. So
And actually, Daniel, I can tell you, he's very creative. In his office, he built his desk, his bookshelves. He could do all kinds of things like
nice.
That. It's just the chainsaw part, those kind of things, will let somebody else cut the wood.
Yeah, I'm kind of with him on that. They do kind of scare me.
If the carpenter can't show up, we just delay whatever the project is.
That's good.
When I'm down, when I'm down, when I'm down, when I'm down, 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 my heart is filled with fear and doubt.
Obviously, the time of this broadcast is everybody's still just kind of in shock over the news. And you know, obviously, I've seen you make comment on this, Reba. Let's talk about the relationship between Whitney Houston and your mother and the relationship you had with her. Just in this moment, if you want to echo some of the things probably you've already said many times.
Well, you know, my mother was never one to listen to a lot of music. When someone would record one of her songs, we would take it in and play it for her. She loved it, but she didn't sit around and listen a lot to music. She didn't read a lot of books. She read the Bible a lot, but not a lot of other books. But the one artist, and I will say this, the one artist that you would find in her home the most often was Whitney Houston, because she loved her music. And when Whitney recorded I Go to the Rock on the soundtrack for The Preacher's Wife, mm-hmm. that was one of the highlights of Mom's life. And mm-hmm. Whitney, you know, was just a precious, precious person, is a precious person, because she's more is now than she's ever been, because she's more alive today, I believe, than she's ever been. But Whitney was a great champion of our family, of our music, and Donnie and I were privileged several times to see her on tour. One of the young girls that we mentored is named Patty Howard, and Patty was her lead vocalist and headed up her background group for many years. And so Patty was one that really helped to bring all the family together. Mm-hmm. But Whitney was so precious. She loved harmonies, mm-hmm. and she loved the family sound, but she also was a fan of Donnie and myself, which was so precious. Mm-hmm. And we would go see her on the road, and she was just so kind and beautiful to us, and always wanted to talk about the Lord, mm-hmm. always wanted to pray, always. She loved Jesus, and she mm-hmm. loves him more now than ever. But she was, you know, just so precious, and it was just an exciting day, of course, when Whitney performed at the Dove Awards mm-hmm. and received the Dove Award for I Go to the Rock, and Mom came up and accepted with her. It was one of the cutest pieces of film ever has of that moment. But it was just, you know, I love her so much, and I know she may have had a confused moment, but I'm telling you what, I believe with everything in me, she's with Jesus, because I've sat with her, I know her heart, and really when you begin to talk to her, it always came back around to Jesus and her love for the Lord. And I believe that's one reason her voice was so angelic. She sang from an otherworld place. Mm. She sang from a place of spirit. And when you have somebody that can sing from that place, oh, I'm telling you what, wondrous things can happen.
And we use that to bring that back. I mean, how many of us have had clouded judgment? How many of us have had these confused moments in our own lives? It's just that we're not on a platform like that. And so often I think that we point the finger a little too quickly. And I'm sure you can attest to this in your own life, being in the spotlight, that it's tough.
It is tough. And my kids always say we live in a glass house and a glass bus.
Yeah.
But it is tough. And a lot of people, you know, it's amazing. In the past, if somebody said something bad about you, they did it to your face, or you heard it through the grapevine, or you got a letter.
Yeah.
Today, I mean, people access your own life so easily. I know even when Mom died, there were several weeks I didn't even look at so many things, because people can be cruel. And there are people who I really believe are mentally sick that go on a vendetta, that they don't even know you. They've never shook your hand. They've never been in your presence. But they get these concepts in their mind, and sometimes they feel like, you know, they're God's police on the earth. And in our church and in our family, you know, everything is based on love. And the paradigm is always love and not judgment. The paradigm is always righteousness and not sin, because we're looking for the righteous thing. We're looking for the right thing in one another. We're looking for Jesus in one another. And, you know, it's sad that some people feel that, I guess, their lives are so small, they try to vicariously live through others. But, you know, to me, you know, my mother used to say, bless their heart, and I knew what that meant. That was a Southern way of saying, how dumb can you get and still breathe? So she would just kind of shake her head and go, bless their heart.
Right, right.
You just have to do the bless their heart thing.
Yeah. Rambo McGuire and good music here on Daniel Britton Friends, and talking with Reba, Donnie, and Destiny.
Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his head. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand.
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. I'm happy to be talking to Donnie and Destiny and Reba. Here's a question for you, Reba. Well, first, let me give you this quote, just because it's in my mind. Mark Lowry, I will never forget this line that he talks about when he talks about the Rambos, how your harmonies blended like flour in a cake. I just love that line because it's true. Do you think everybody's going to be saying the same thing about Rambo McGuire because it is a generational thing? You got a lot of those same similarities?
I really do think there is, as Donnie talked about, that family blessing. But there is, to me, the family unity comes through in the sound. I hadn't heard a lot of family harmonies when the family is really dysfunctional that really touch me. But when a family is in harmony in their lives, I'm not saying they're all perfect and don't ever have an issue. But I know before we ever walk on a stage, a platform, a studio, there is no aught between us. We're going to work it out. We don't let the sun go down on wrath. We just work it out. But there's this family thing. I can look in Destiny's eyes and read her face. I know her eyes. There's a scripture in the Psalms that says he will guide us with his eyes. And that all comes about a relationship. Donnie can walk in a room and I can look at him and know what kind of day he's had. Mm. And the same with me. But when we get in that place, the three of us, you know, one is good, two is better, but a three-stranded cord, there's a power in a three-stranded cord. And I promise you, when we would be, especially in that studio, and looking at each other with those headphones on singing, it was like a synergy thing that would happen. I can't even explain it. Mm. And there are times on stage when one of us may miss a word and the others have gone with them and said the same word. I can't, how do you explain that?
Wow.
But I think you get into that one mind and one sound. You know, and scripturally, when there is one sound to be heard, that's when glory fills the house. That's when the presence of the Lord is there. And we strive for that. So to really walk in a place of union and communion, first of all, with the Lord, then with each other, that the harmony of life is heard.
Give me peace, Lord, when troubles all I see. Give me wisdom to know what's best for me. Give me a burden when my soul's in need. And I won't ask for more, Lord. I won't ask for more. I don't ask for the sky to fall, darkness to cover the
McGuire, moving from flour and a cake over to what most gospel singers really, really want to talk about. Let's talk about food. And when you think about, and maybe Donnie and Destiny, and listening to your answer, they're going to be the amen corner, or they're going to be the one to say, no, it's even worse than that. The question is, Reba, is there a particular food item or maybe a concoction of something that you love? It's like your favorite comfort, or it's just a weird thing, but you love it, and everybody else around you is, I can't believe she eats that.
Well, one thing is, they all love my cornbread. I make Texas cornbread with chilies and cheese and all kind of stuff in it, but I love it with a glass of buttermilk.
Yeah.
And chop it up and put it inside the glass of buttermilk.
Oh.
And then some pepper on top.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That's a Kentucky thing.
People do love food, and sometimes we have weird tastes, so that's always fun. You guys, and Destiny, this is a question for you, because I think that, especially the younger generation, our attention span seems to be getting shorter and shorter the more time goes on. If you were to stand up right now, leave this interview, and head over to a recording studio, and you can use one of two options here. You can either go and write a song for today, or you can choose a song that you guys have already recorded and maybe get the unplugged version of that song, because next week Starbucks is going to feature this song as their iTunes download of the week. It's a song for the world to hear for this particular moment in time. What would that song say? Or if you know specifically what the song is, tell us about it.
Oh, wow. That is a very hard question. Goodness. Honestly, at the top of my head, you know, I really believe that the message that music should be communicating today is a message of love and a message of unity and a message that tears down the walls that we build up around ourselves, either against love or against other certain types of people or against even different religions that we don't necessarily understand or have taken the time to really investigate and see why people believe what they believe. To me, the most powerful thing that music could say is something along the lines of, you know, first of all, God loves all of us the way that we are, and nothing's ever going to change that. And then secondly, to bring an awareness to the fact that we're all called to love each other just as much as he loves us. Speaking of the concert that I went to the other night with my mom, one of my favorite artists, his name is Trevor Hall. He has a song called Unity that to me just speaks of so much what, you know, what I just talked about, what music should be saying. The whole concept of the song is talking about these different people groups and different languages and different religions, but yet under God, we all are a unified picture of his children. We're all a unified picture of his love and what he extends towards us in his love. So if I was going to write something, it would be along those lines, but if I was going to do my own version of a song, it would probably be that one.
Things are gonna be better after a while. Tears shall pass and I shall wear a smile. When everything goes wrong, gonna sing me a happy song. Things are gonna be better after. Shine again.
Rambo McGuire with us here on Daniel Britt and Friends, and I'm glad you're here because this is a tremendous amount of history on this phone call that we've got and around our table. Let me say, at the very beginning of the program, I made references to all the history and the generational thing, and now they've got something new. Help me understand, guys, because the Rambo McGuire thing, has it been kind of something that's been going on maybe in different... Maybe it looked a little bit different or was in a different kind of a package, but still had that name, Rambo McGuire? Or is this something that's pretty new to 2011, 12-ish?
Well, I mean, even back in the mid-80s, after Reba and I had married, we began to go by Rambo McGuire back in that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things that we did were still either coming out in our individual names or we would join our names together on certain projects. But as time grew, we just started making reference to everything as Rambo McGuire.
Yeah.
And even after having started the church, though the name Rambo McGuire may not have been the thing that we were going out under, the family has continued to go out in musical / ministry endeavors, and so there, in the idea that we have gone back into a serious mode of recording, that side of it is all new. The concept of remembering and reflecting and honoring the Rambo name, the Rambo music, Dottie Rambo's lyrics. That is new. But as far as our family has kind of ridden under this banner for as long as we've been a family.
Mm.
31 years.
Wow.
For 31 years since you and I have been married now for 31
yeah.
years.
Yeah. It's incredible.
And one of the things too, Daniel, that when Mom passed so suddenly in the bus accident, and it, you know, you're just in shock forever.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't even listen to her songs, our music, nothing for a long, long time. But sitting around in our writing room, we have a little studio, and we started just as a family singing some of her songs as a type of healing. And the very thing I couldn't listen to at first began to heal me. When I began to sing Shelter in the Arms of God again, it was like that began to heal me. When we began to sing Remind Me, you know, that... I would reflect on when she wrote the song, and her own music began to help heal all of us.
Mm.
And we just started singing her songs in the house because we were just missing her and wanted to remember the good things. And we would begin to tell funny stories, and it became okay to laugh about Mom, you know, to tell her goofy side.
Yeah.
And when we did that, Israel, our son, actually said, "Wow, you guys sound great. People need to hear this again." And we kind of... somehow morphed into a little bit more of a bluegrass thing for this first recording. But it was just a thing that we were doing for fun. And then people like Ben Isaacs would say, "Oh, I want to be a part of that." And so we just began to put down very simply the songs we were loving and that were touching our hearts. And then my dad, of course, I do not include him because he still sings so great.
Yeah.
And you put him on a stage and he lights up like a Christmas tree. He's still that quintessential performer, minister, communicator. So it kind of, part of this kind of crept up on us, but it's been such an exciting event in our lives.
Has it opened up some doors that you were happy to see open again?
It really has, Daniel. It seems like with every week there's just an increase of people reaching to us. We're scheduling quite a few dates for the remaining part of this year, already scheduling into 2013. You know, and one of the beautiful things, I know we talked some about some of Destiny's interests beyond Rambo McGuire or our son's interests beyond that. There are so many different ways we go out, but primarily at this time, most of what we're doing is built around the concept of honoring the legacy of the Rambos. And there's a lot, you said earlier, there's a lot of buzz. It totally caught us by surprise when we realized that Grassroots Rambos had been nominated for a Dove. You know, we just didn't really have any thought of it even getting there. And yet that's created another level of interest. And so I'm very appreciative for what I see happening and the doors that are opening in some venues, some different events that, you know,
What's exciting too, and I'm going to interrupt, is like things like the Marty Stewart show. Talk about that.
Oh yeah, we did Marty's show, and I had no idea the coverage of RFD TV.
Right.
And yet we have had so much response. We were on there and did one of the songs from the Grassroots Project, Mama's Teaching Angels.
Uh-huh.
And Marty is just, he's been a dear friend, become even a dearer friend since reconnecting with him and doing the show with him, and hopefully we'll do that again soon. But, you know, there's just been a lot of excitement, a lot of interest, and we're just very happy to be able to make ourselves available to go.
Sacred treasures. Ooh.
Are you hopeful for today's generation to remember and build upon the foundation that was started as you guys really, I mean, you carry on not only the name, but I mean, as we've talked about so many times already in this conversation alone, you're carrying on that that legacy in a tremendous way.
Well, I think that should be all of our prayer. You know, when Reba and I got married, she didn't realize what a drug user, alcohol user I was, and it didn't take long for everything I had hidden from her before marriage to get exposed. And then we went through a 3-4 month time of being separated. You know, I mean, our lives were over as far as our marriage was concerned, but somehow in the midst of all of that, God began to love us and restore us individually, and then we came back together. And though we can't say all 31 years have been glorious, we can say that for the most part, once we got beyond that initial hurdle 2 years into our marriage, we have just had this incredible relationship. And then out of that, we began to pour in and began to disciple. And I believe it should be the heart of every believer to impart their lives into others so that they can then impart their life into others. And that's the process of discipling and making investment into people's lives that makes a difference. And my prayer would certainly be that whatever we do in remembering an incredible legacy of music and of a sound, that we are at the same time creating a new sound and perpetuating a even deeper truth of the music we sing. Because if we can just let the world know how God feels about them, God so loved the world he gave. And Jesus said in verse 17 of John 3, I didn't get sent to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved. And so our hope is that people will pick up on things. To me, some of the greatest messages of the church are still found in hymnal books. And yet we've overlooked them. But we've got to remember some of those truths are unchangeable truths. And they're the only, love is the only thing the scripture tells us will never fail. And so somewhere in a Rambo McGuire concert, whether it's more of a family event or whether it's a remembering the Rambo event, people are going to feel the effects of what we believe the love of God has had on us in hopes that it will impact them the same way.
When you realize the one in all of the universe who has the right to condemn and doesn't, I think that gives us all a pause to say, hey, yeah, this is about love, it's about unity, and it's about casting away judgment, because if you ever feel condemned by something you read or something you hear, you know that's not from the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Well, and you know what? The truth of the matter, Daniel, the scripture says when we got saved wasn't when we got good enough.
Yeah.
The scripture says we were saved while we were still in our sin. And so I have to believe that if I can ever really fully grasp that then I have to realize it's not because of what I'm doing or how good I'm doing it. The only reason I have experienced salvation is because of what Christ did. Period. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And that's the message. And that's what I get that from the honesty in your voice and the honesty with which you deliver your music and the message that's in that music. And I think that's what people are attracted to and are excited about, too. I mean, yeah, I'm excited about the harmony. I'm excited about the great songs Dottie wrote that remain alive, not only through other artists, but now very much concentrated through your ministry. But I love this. I just love the contagious spirit of the gospel in its purest form that you guys bring. And so we rise up and call you blessed, okay?
Well, thank you.
Troubles can bring you closer to God. Your faith will increase or you'll have no faith at all. Winning is sometimes losing, though it's hard to understand. Troubles can break you or make you a man.
That's Rambo McGuire. By the way, tell me about websites and Facebook, Twitter. You guys all on that bandwagon?
RamboMcGuire.com. It's Rambo McGuire Twitter, Rambo McGuire Facebook. I think everything is focused around Rambo McGuire. But if there's something I don't know, I don't get into all of that like these two girls do. but I do know it's RamboMcGuire.com.
If you're ever on Twitter, she's the one who's keeping that going.
Okay.
It's pretty hilarious.
Fun.
it's following a hillbilly on Twitter. The blending of the two worlds is quite funny.
You guys are so much fun, and I can't wait to see how this journey continues, and I can't wait to have an opportunity to be there with you in person again to hear the music, because I love it.
Well, we look very much forward to it.
Thanks for your time, and you guys have a good day.
God bless you, Daniel.
You've been listening to Daniel Britton Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britton Friends.